Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Him and pertinent in the spiritual warfare. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in an uncomfortable time in our nation's history. We've removed prayer from our schools. We're removing Your name, God, from our textbooks. We're removing Your word from so many institutions, including, unfortunately, many churches. It's extremely uncomfortable. But Heavenly Father, we rest in the peace and the confidence that Your Son is in control of all history. And what's going on is by Your design, and You will use it to Your glory. Satan designs it for one purpose. You use it for Your glory. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, will be edifying to us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, Brian?
I love that old.
singing that hymn, I hope you have trophies. You know, I bet a lot of people that sing that hymn, they're going to walk away with an empty wheelbarrow on the efficiency rating by the Lord. So, if you know how to be filled with the Spirit by faith and execute that in your life, you'll have trophies. Okay, let's see. This morning, let's start off with prayer. And Thomas, how you doing? Okay. Do what?
School is really tiring.
Okay. So what?
For all juniors, not just me. It's a little bit more harder for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So when does he go to the doctor?
No, his next checkup is on the 18th for his...
18th of February. Okay, right. So we'll look forward to report then.
Yes.
How the knee's doing.
How are you? Up same.
I don't like pain. I'm not into pain.
I think that's the other thing that tires them, the pain.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Good grief. Well, we'll continue being in prayer, young man. And again, every time we see you, just thank God for the miracle that you're here. Wow. And we're in prayer for the parents and Rick and Terry. And what other prayer requests do we have? Yes, Julie? Yep.
Yeah, so the second one seems to do better. So hopefully that she would get out of the woods. She's trying to pray for Billy.
Man, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess. In the tribulation, hope you're aware of the fact that women will outnumber men, according to Isaiah, 7-1 in the tribulation. Women, therefore, will be the primary dupes for the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, because there will be so much of this kind of maltreatment of women up to and going into the tribulational period. And he's going to promise all kind of things. And women all over the world are going to believe him and come to him and put their confidence in him. After he has gained that control in the tribulation, he turns against women. Got to understand that Christianity is the only religion that exalts woman to her proper place. Yes, she is to submit to the authority of her husband, but that's for her protection. That's for her well-being. Therefore, it behooves a woman to be smart on who she marries. But the tribulation is going to be very interesting as far as women are concerned. They will be transported. That comes up in Revelation. And it's going to be a lot of activity going on during that period. Thank you, and we will be in prayer for Billy. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good. And what's her first name?
Amber.
Amber. We will be in prayer for Amber. Thank you for letting us know about Amber. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be in prayer for Tony and his entire family at this time. Absolutely. Any other? Yes.
I do. My best friend Lisa, she went to go see her mom this weekend. Her mom has had lymphoma twice. We were in prayer for her about a month ago. She had gotten staph infection and was sick in the hospital. Well, she was finally doing better from that, and she found a lump on her breast, went in to get it checked, and they've got to do some tests, but they think the lymphoma's back for the third time. And Lisa said just from the time that she found out and the time that Lisa got up there this weekend to see her, the lump had already grown. It was growing like overnight. So I'll speak to Lisa. They're traveling back from her daughter Casey from Kansas now, and I'll find out more details. But, you know, she's ready to go home and be with the Lord. She says she's tired of all these surprises.
Yeah. So, we'll be in prayer for her and for God's plan for her. Absolutely. Last Sunday, we prayed for Brian Cooper, who was down. We prayed for James Webb, who was down. I don't know what God was doing, but I had to lead the singing. And you're right, for them. And but they're both here. And
how quickly God answered that.
Yeah. If that's the best they have, I better get those hunting hats back. Oh, so we're thankful for that answered prayer that both James and Brian are back with us. Yes.
Prayer request for the kids that you threw, you know, and Wiley. I was talking to Larry the other day, and lots of stories coming out, just really, really great stories. I know we'd love to share all of them with you guys. I want to share one in particular, if it's okay.
Yes, please, absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to share a story about these kids are inviting each other to youth groups. They're going to invite their kids from school. And I want to, first of all, just thank God for Alex. So, Alex, sorry. My sons are just rolling their eyes at me. I wasn't even feeling emotional. I'm excited. Alex Bonner, a sixth grader, has been at school. I think he took a lot of you guys know him from camp. And I found out before Christmas, he was just kind of talking to me, we were going to school, and he said, Miss Lori, there's this kid at school named Tyler, and we were talking, and he knows about Jesus. I've invited him to youth group, but he didn't have a Bible, so I thought, well, I've got a lot at home, so I'm just going to take him one. So that's kind of the beginning of the story, and I said, that's cool. So I'm talking to his mom, she said, I had no idea, he's just doing this, you know, and she knows what the kids are doing. So kind of fast forward, Alex has been asking us to pray for Tyler, and Tyler's in sixth grade, and then, please pray, I've invited him to youth group, he's never come. Joe McEnroe, Amanda McEnroe, y'all know from one of Cameron's friends.
Yeah.
She's one of their teachers. She knows about the youth groups. So she's gotten involved conferencing with parents. This boy had been going through a lot of problems. They said they noticed a turnaround before Christmas and noticed that he was carrying a Bible around. The Bible that Alex had given him.
Wow.
So they thank God he used all these things. Tyler came to youth group last Thursday.
Whoa. Wow. Thank you very much.
And if you'll come to youth group, which I hope that you will, you'll see that it's not this quiet, it's not this quiet, organized thing where everyone sits down and you just can tell they're listening to everything you say. I mean, there's a lot of weeks that you think, these kids are crazy, and I don't even think they heard anything I said.
That's beautiful. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. People, we just need to constantly be in prayer. They're not here. We don't see it here, but it's happening. And God is using it. So please be in prayer for both these homes and the speakers and for Larry and Brian and Trey and Christy and Chris and Lori Day. And I guess Leslie helps you and Leslie and Jerry. So just be in prayer, people. Things are happening that are just so powerful. So thank you very much. Any other prayer requests? Yes. All right. I think I have that. We did. That is powerful. On that same token, people, we're getting ready for the offertory, but this has nothing to do with it. How long have we been using these? 15 years? 20 years? 95, all right, 95. About 15 years. And people, we need to update it. I'm just letting you know. The printer, it's a special kind of printer. It needs to print up these covers for the disc. So it's not just going in and buying a printer. It's a special printer, but it's getting up there to be Jim Passmore's age and kind of walk slow like Jim does. And we need to update that. And Rick's been working on the sound system, right? And just ballpark, what are we looking at? Depends on how much we want to do. Less than 500, all right. So these are just some things, people, that we need to do and have done, just letting you know about that. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. Just a moment. God.
Can we do the chili announcement?
Ah, absolutely. Oh, my goodness, yes. Do it.
So we're having chili cook-off next week. Bring all your friends for them to vote so they can make donations to vote for the chili. All right? We're having 6 pots of chili and 3 teams.
Okay. Kelly, Judith's son, said, you know, you want to make a few extra bucks? One of them will win number one, right?
Yes.
We'll auction off that recipe.
Okay.
After that one's determined, then we'll auction off. Who wants $1, $1, $2, $3, $3, $4, $4, $5? We'll do that. Yeah, bring the recipe, and we'll raffle off recipe. That's good. All right. Okay. Yes, sir.
Pastor, you're showing your natural talent.
There used to be an old song, The Auctioneer. That was a good song. Remember that? The good song.
I'm turning this off. All of you are invited this afternoon. It's only going to take a second. This afternoon to Judith to my home for the Super Bowl, 5 to whenever it's over. I think the game starts at 5:30. All of you are invited to come over. And we'll just have fun together, and you can be for whatever team you want, and we'll have a good time together. Okay.
Now, y'all are invited too. If you can make it in from Kansas, Iowa, all right, California. The word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give it grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith, for we want to be led by the Spirit in regard to giving. Not according to us, but according to Spirit. Not according to need, but according to the leading of the Spirit. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. We cannot thank you or praise you enough for things you're doing, even behind the scenes. We don't know who's listening on the internet. We don't need to. And what you're doing with these two homes, with these young children, is just unbelievable, Father. And we don't even want to think about it. We just want to praise you and thank you. And just pray you'll continue to guide the teachers, the home members, in teaching what needs to be taught these young people with love, with wisdom, with our missionary outreach, and right here in our own assembly, our singing, things that we're doing here, Father, we just praise you. And Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, and you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Wes. Okay, before we get started, does everyone have the new handout for Daniel chapter 2? Is there anyone that does not? Okay. Romeo, can you bring us a couple of them, stack of them, please? All right, raise your hand if you didn't get one. I got there. Anybody else does not have one? Okay. There we go. No, you didn't get your own. We believe in women's rights here. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And before we do, I just want to tell you how appreciative I am personally, and I'm sure that you are, to James Webb. Not on any kind of salary or anything, but I'll email him my notes. And you got to understand, my notes are just lines, maybe a paragraph break and more lines and a paragraph break and more lines. And he puts this together. And when I saw the opening, I mean, my goodness, we're going to publish these things? And boy, so it'd be so easy for you to be able to follow through, make some notes, and I'm just appreciative. I sat down with him the other day, and I said, now, I want you to be very serious with me. Are you up to doing this all the way through the book of Daniel? Because there's going to be a lot of work. And he looked at me and he said, absolutely, unless I decide to go to Alaska. Let's pray he doesn't desire to go to Alaska. And But I think when we get as we have already in chapter 1, you'll appreciate what he's put together and the way he's done it. And the way he's done it is just remarkable. And so we're very thankful to James Webb for that. And let's begin with the word of prayer. This is God's word. He gave us the information. We doctor it up. I look at it and do this, and then James makes it presentable, but it's the word of God. It's what he wants us to know for our lives. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Every book in this book is so pertinent, Father. But Daniel touches us today and tomorrow. Daniel looks to the future as well as explaining the past. Pray that your spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and understand. Father, there's so much here we'll miss. We know that. We'll miss. No matter what kind of detail we try to pursue here, we'll miss it. We'll miss seeing other things. So, Father, we just pray your spirit will cause us to see the things you would have this assembly see. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. As you have at the top, I'm just going to go through these things now. Most people that study the book of Daniel, especially today, you'll go to the bookstore and you have a lot of books, and it will deal just with the prophecies of Daniel. It'll deal with the statute of Daniel and deal with all these things. And they're concerned with the prophetic outline of Gentile history and through history. Because Daniel touches not only the 6th century B.C., but he touches all the way to the millennial reign of Christ. And we're just involved with all of this wonderful prophecy. Gentile empires that will come along through history after Daniel's written and all the way through history. And it will be seen in two different areas. Chapter 2, a statute. That is the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And then in chapter 7, it will be beast. And there's a reason for the change in these two things. But people, that's not what this book's about. As we know from Ben, that Daniel is in the wisdom section of the Hebrew Bible, not the prophecy section. It's about wisdom. How the Jews are to live under the control of these Gentile nations. He's going to talk about all these Gentile nations, but how are the Jews supposed to live in these powers? How's Israel to survive under the world powers? And it's going to apply to us, because we're living in a time where we're moving to very anti-God, not just neutral, but anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-the Word of God. So it's going to be wisdom for us also. And what we want to do is emphasize Daniel 2, 14 through 18. This wisdom is for us. So you have it at the bottom of your page here, the beginning of 2, 14. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. People, he's 17 years old. To Arioch, and you'll learn who he is if you probably, I hope that you've read chapter 2. All right. The captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon, and that includes Daniel and his three friends. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, "For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent to kill all these wise men?" Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king, he's 17 years old, that the king would give him, Daniel, time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. He has not even prayed to his God. But he trusts his God. People, what we're going to learn in chapter 2 should just stabilize all of our lives. He has not even prayed as far as record is concerned. And he goes in, look at chapter or verse 16 again. In order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. He knows his God can do that. He knows his God will do that. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house, and boy, I would love to spend 2 or 3 hours on just this one phrase, to inform his friends. And we're going to talk about friendships. Hananiah, these are their Hebrew names. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, about the matter. You probably know them by their Babylonian names. So, why did he inform them? So that they might go into prayer, request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then the assurance of the Jews and God's plan. People, we live in a time when you've just got to be so careful who you listen to. Replacement theology can make it sound so good. Israel's out. The church is Israel. All those promises to Israel are now out. No, they're not out. Where's the faithfulness of God? If we can't trust God to fulfill what He promised Israel, how are you going to trust God to fulfill His promise of you eternal life? You can't. If God can just change His mind, we have no assurance. So be so careful. And look what he says in verse 44. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Okay, in the midst of the Gentile kingdoms, he will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, Israel. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. In other words, when we study these empires, the Babylonian Empire will give way to the Medo-Persian Empire. Medo-Persian Empire give way to the Greek Empire. This isn't going to happen. Not be given away. Not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. And we have the prophecy of the final rule of the Jewish nation in history. And then James put in a timeline for you. Now, long period of Gentile rule we're going to be reading. From the 6th century B.C. to the 21st century A.D. and maybe beyond the 21st century, we don't know. But the time is coming when Gentile rule will be crushed by God and the Jewish nation will rule. It is, to me, one of the most interesting things to just go through the paper and just read through and see. Nearly every day there's some article. Israel's doing this. People are doing this to Israel. The king of Egypt doesn't like Israel. And all that's going on. And Israel bombed outside of Damascus. Bombed some of the, because there were the weapons that were getting ready to come into. Just little things building. And if you keep up to it, there'll be no surprises. So we have long period of history. Two important lessons, and I love the way James dramatized this. Two important lessons to every Jew and every believer in Jesus Christ, and here's the wisdom of Daniel. Gentile world powers will constantly seek to crush all Jews and all true believers in Jesus Christ. Jews and true believers can always be blessed by God, no matter how much they are hated by Gentile powers. This is God in history. It doesn't matter how much they hate the Jews, all these type of things. God can promote in the midst of all of the most adverse circumstances. This will be seen in the wisdom of Daniel, as in the lion's den and the three friends in the fiery furnace. What's all that about? It's God saying, I'm in control. No one can hurt you unless I permit it. So we'll take a look at those when we come there. We have seen this already in chapter 1, where these four men are thrust out of their Jewish nation into Babylon, Babylonian culture and education. Yet God blesses them and promotes them. Why? Because of their faithfulness to Him. People, there are other Jews besides these four men that were taken into captivity. Not a word about them. They did not care to be faithful to God. These four men did. So they will be appointed to high positions. Chapter 1, Daniel and his three friends promoted, and immediately a crisis occurs. The end of chapter 1, they're promoted. We now go into a crisis. A coincidence? No. This is God's perfect timing. He just barely gets out of grad school, 3 years of intense education, and whammo, a crisis. Don't I have any time to rest? Can't I just go to the beaches and lay out in the sun for a little while? Nope. Immediately, a big death-threatening crisis occurs. People, this is God's perfect timing. And what I want us to do is understand, no matter what happens in the world, God's in control. Don't get upset. This is God setting up His plan in Daniel's life. All right, Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, remember we studied this, protected by Nabal, the god, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him, insomnia. 603 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar became king in 605 B.C., at his father's death. 603 B.C., he starts having these dreams. This unbeliever king had dreams, plural, over and over. And people, these dreams were of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God. God calls Nebuchadnezzar to have these dreams to work out His, God's purpose. Now, we can spend a lot of time on dreams. Unbelievers have dreams. Believers have dreams. But here's the problem. Many believers put more importance on their dreams than they do on the Word of God. And that is a travesty. But I want to tell you one reason they do this. The Word of God, oh, that's not personal. That's everybody. Oh, but my dreams are mine. They're of me. They're of me and what God wants me to do. Secondly, which is easier? Coming and studying the Word of God or going to sleep and dream? See? So they like that. They don't have to study the Bible. God just speaks to me in my dreams. We're going to talk about these things. Today, throughout the church age, God speaks to believers through His Word, and He leads believers by His Spirit. Oh, I don't like that. I'm more He gives me these dreams and visions. No, people. He leads through His Word, so you got to know His Word, and He leads by His Spirit, so you got to walk by faith in His Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible is there recorded anything about the gift of dreams or the gift of the interpretation of dreams. Nowhere. Got tongues and the gift of interpretation, but not dreams. We're going to see why. Unbelievers have dreams. Believers have dreams. Well, we all dream, and they come from one of three sources. Some people put a lot of stock in their dreams and wonder about them, talk about them. And some people dream a lot. I know people just dream. I don't dream a whole lot. And some people, Dan Hill, I'll tell you about Dan Hill. I don't know to believe him or not. But, you know, he's a man of God. Why would he lie? He can finish the dream the next night. He can pick up the dream where he left off the night before. Now, I don't know if I believe all of that, but he guarantees, and he doesn't put any spiritual value on it, but he said, oh, I can finish the dream, finish the story the next night. See? I don't want to. But it's just, dreams are interesting to people. But look at the three causes that experts tell us the stimuli for dreams. One, physical factors. Pains, food, drugs, exhaustion, chemical imbalance, toxins can all stimulate dreams and visions. Got drugs in there. Pain, toxins, all these things. Secondly, one's emotional state. Worry, fears, anxiety. SAD, stress, anxiety, depression. things heavy on the mind, good or bad, sexual or non-sexual, whatever it may be. We all have dreams, and whatever the source, the dream is influenced by what's going on in our mind, in our psyche. And then third, an outside influence. Supernatural source working on our minds while we're asleep. These can be from God to believers or unbelievers, or from Satan to unbelievers. Many Christians are always making big issues out of their dreams and are adamant that God speaks to them through dreams. Okay, here's some facts for you. Dreams, dreams. I dream and God speaks. Let's take a look. Think about this. 66 books in this Bible. 66 books. Look at this. There are only 22 dreams recorded in the Bible. How about that? How many of you would have thought more? I would have thought more. I would have thought more than that. Only 22 dreams are recorded in the whole Bible. And what's even more important, 6 are in the New Testament. People, that's not very many. 6 dreams recorded in the New Testament. God simply stopped communicating through dreams as the canon of Scripture was completed. Of the 16 dreams in the Old Testament, 11 occurred before the Old Testament was written. The 6 dreams in the New Testament were all before the New Testament books had even begun to be written. Think about that. Think about that. Don't be led by your dreams. Be led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's use of the Word of God. Dreams are an important issue in the Bible. But they were not related to the individual. Think about this. I should have listed all 22 for you so you could have time looking at it, those of you that really get up on these things. But they're not about personal. These people that, these Christians, oh, I had a dream and God did it. Wait a minute, these dreams are not about you. Dreams are about the plan of God. For personal guidance, walk in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Be led of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's use of the Word of God. That means you're going to have to study the Word of God. That means you're going to have to walk by faith. In the Old Testament, God revealed to mankind in several different ways. I've listed some of them for you. One, through the spoken word, as in Job. Often before there was any written word, he would speak through the written word. And you'll have often, and God said to these people. Now, there's something I'd want to know. Dreams, okay, you're asleep, but, and God said, you know, it's kind of like years ago, Bill Cosby did a wonderful thing on Noah. And, I mean, if you haven't heard it, you'd want to do it. It is just classic stuff. But he's walking along, and he said, Noah, who, what? But, and then eventually, he keeps talking to him, so Noah's so excited, you know, the people are laughing at him for building this big old ark, and he goes, Noah, what? What do you want? And he says, it's getting ready to rain, you and me, God, you and me. But you can just imagine hearing this voice of how God would speak to people. And at least even Moses and the burning bush, okay, but just this voice. Right, you're out there somewhere. That's pretty wild. Secondly, through dreams. Where the first time this is mentioned is in Genesis 20, where God came to Abimelech in a dream. Be warned, one of the tactics of Satan is to use dreams in unbelievers, people. Three, through visions. Here is yet another one that many people today place more emphasis on than on the written word. Dash, especially if they've had drugs. I love to talk to people about their visions when they've had drugs. I have a friend that, boy, he just knew there were thousands of bugs crawling toward him. And that would be often when he was on taking his drugs. There they were coming. He thought they were real. And so all these visions that people have. And the emphasis should be on the written word of God, where the first vision recorded was in Genesis 15, where the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Again, Satan's scheme is to use visions as well as God. 4, God communicates by means of angelic teaching. This is an interesting one. This is seen in that angels were the ones who taught the law. Acts 7:53, you received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Compared with Galatians 3:19, why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of the mediator, until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. And he talks about the seed being Jesus Christ. I think it is interesting that both Muhammad and Joseph Smith both claim the angel Gabriel came to them. Got to give it some authenticity. And what better authenticity? Gabriel came into, ooh, Gabriel. See? So that's what these people do. People, it's the written word of God led by the Holy Spirit. 5, and of course through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, follow the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. And then 6, of course, the written word. By the way, this is referred to even in Daniel. Even in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. In the first year of his reign, Daniel observed in the books of the number of the years, which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. So, it leads through the written word. That's what we are bound to. Conclusion. We could spend hours on that. That's just going to be all I want to say about dreams and visions at this point. As the written word came into existence, God diminished his use of dreams. Remember, there are only 22 in the Bible. Of dreams and visions. To the point that God no longer communicates through dreams and our visions. His revelation to man is now complete in his canon of Scripture. Anyone who sets himself up as having revelation from God through dreams or visions or angelic communication, Muhammad and Joseph Smith, are deceived, or else they are charlatans, are liars. We need to be alerted. Be alert. Okay, Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. Now the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. These are from God. And his spirit, the invisible part of his being, the real person, was troubled and his sleep left him. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar is one of the most powerful men in history. He is one of the great military strategists in human history right up to this day. People that really know their history will put Nebuchadnezzar along with Alexander the Great, as far as being a great military genius. And this is the king who rules the whole world, both the Western and Eastern empires, and has every detail of life known to man. He wants it, all he has to say is get it. Yet, this powerful man suffers from anxiety, worry, fear of uncertain. He is troubled. And his whole being is troubled. His soul, his mind, his emotions, all are in turmoil. He can't even sleep. He can't even sleep. I love that old woman that reared me. She and I laughed and we'd say, well, we've never been so depressed we couldn't eat. And we've never been so depressed we couldn't sleep. So this is, but the King Nebuchadnezzar could not sleep. He's walking the floors, and he wants an answer, and he wants it badly. Okay, this is what our God can do, and does do throughout history. Nebuchadnezzar is not in control, he's in trouble. He is troubled in his soul. While he thinks he's in total control, he is in trouble in his own soul. This king was usually in total control, and now he was troubled over something about which he has no control. people who like to think that they're in control often cannot handle things when they lose their control over situations. Remember from our study in SAD, control is an illusion. And his sleep left him, insomnia. He can't sleep. People that like to be in control and they're in a circumstance where they can't be in control, finance, death, whatever it may be, health, they lose it. They have no relaxation faith in the Lord. They lose it. He has insomnia. So here's this king of the great empire in the world, and he has no peace. No greatest man, the greatest strength in history. Now look, you and I can have this inner peace. No matter what is going on in history, no matter what is going on in our own lives, you and I can have inner peace. If you know how to rest by faith in the Holy Spirit, peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's by faith. This man has no peace, and he has everything. You and I, who may not have hardly anything, we can have inner peace at all times. Okay, the king's council. See, he's got to get that answer to this. So it's time to call in the council. The secular world had and has its own way of interpreting dreams. What they would do and what they still do is they keep scrupulous records of dreams. And then they study these dreams and then they develop a whole system of interpreting dreams. If you ever gotten involved in dreams, you know this. They got all their systems for interpreting what does it mean if I dream I'm falling? What does it dream in me? I'm flying. What's it dream in me? I'm swimming. What does it dream? What do all these things mean? And they compile hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have dreams falling. Ah, we figured it out. We know what that means. We know what all these things mean. They're good at observation, but not good at all at interpretation. But these are the things going. So right up to even to today, people study dreams and then they interpret them. They tell you what the dream means. But people in God's plan, there's no gift of dreams, nor is there a gift of the interpretation of dreams. Now I have met, and I put in quotes, weirdo Christians who dream and interpret their own dream. And they'll interpret your dream for you. See? Let me say, if you run across these, be as smart as Nebuchadnezzar. You tell me what I dream first. Then we can talk about your interpretation of my dream. See? So if anybody comes up to, oh, I had a dream. Let me tell you what your dream means. What do you dream? No. No, I don't tell you and you interpret. You tell me what I dreamed. Then I'll talk to you about your interpretation. Don't be a sucker for these people. They're charlatans. So, one of the dramas in the second chapter of Daniel is man's way of interpreting dreams versus God's way of dependence on the Holy Spirit by faith. Daniel 2, verse 2. Then the king gave orders to call in all the magicians. Now the Hebrew word for magician refers to a writer associated with the occult, a soothsayer, a priest. This dates back to the days of Egypt. And what we've done here is just listed his cabinet. Here's his cabinet. And by the way, I got it in here somewhere. Always, don't just slough off who the president's cabinet is. Learn about him. Who's he listening to? Who's on his cabinet? Who has his ear? It's very important. Well, let's see who this cabinet, what this king's cabinet. Soothsayers. In the English, sooth means truth, referring to one who foretold specific future events. This refers to those educated men who were trained in the arts of the ancient knowledge use of occult arts for telling the future. Conjurers. You know what that means, conjure up. Conjurers. The Hebrew word means to breathe, to whisper. They gave incantations. Man has always been interested in his origin and destiny. That is what's in the future. What is the outcome of this war or this battle? This Hebrew word means to breathe, to whisper. They gave incantations, conjured up the dead, received their information by calling up the spirits of the dead. Now, I don't know a whole lot about modern detectives and all, but I used to just love Sherlock Holmes and Charlie Chan in the old days, black and white. And but both of those would occasionally have the conjurers, and they would go to a seance, and they would all sit around the table, woo, 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 and things going on. People have always been interested in this stuff. And today they're still interested in it. All right, let's go to the sorcerer. A sorcerer and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. Then we have the chandlers. Chandlers. Demons have been resourceful of this for the ages, because it impresses mankind. These demons would impersonate departed dead. This has always been part of the Gentile world. Chandlers were part of the king's advisors. So, we have those who would keep track, records, tracks of history, and we have those who conjured up the dead for information. He's got a wonderful staff. Okay. Then we have the sorcerers. The sorcerers. Now we're moving deeper into the occult. In Hebrew it means to practice magic, to practice sorcery. Okay. At this point, let's go to Isaiah 47:9. This is Isaiah, who prophesied the coming of the Babylonian Empire. He and Jeremiah. So this gives you a framework of where Isaiah fits into history. Isaiah 47:9. But these two things will come on you suddenly in one day. Loss of children, talking about Satan. Loss of children and widowhood. They will come on you in full measure. In spite of your many sorceries, this is Babylon, in spite of the great power of your spells. Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth. They kept all these records working on it. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling. Okay. This has been going on for a long time. Israel is severely warned against sorcerers, chandlers, idolatry, worshiping the stars, all these kind of things. And we're seeing why. Demons are highly involved in all of this. This passage speaks of the Babylonians, the Isaiah 47 passage. Speaks of the Babylonians, written about 150 years before it happened in Daniel's time. In Isaiah 47:9, which we just read, a sorcerer is one who casts satanic spells. Not fantasy. They can actually cast spells. They're real spells. And see some of this in voodooism today. It's amazing the number of people in America that are into voodooism, and I'm talking about political people that are into voodooism. Go on the internet and take a look. Okay. Isaiah 47:12-13. Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling. You are weary with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, stand up and save you, deliver you from what will come on you. Let them see if they can deliver you. Deliver him? They can't even interpret his dream. They can't even reveal it. Isaiah chapters 12 and 13, Isaiah predicts the destruction of the Babylonian Empire some 100 years before it will become an empire. Nahum 3:4, prophecy of the fall of Nineveh. Babylon is the empire that will destroy Nineveh. This is how Babylon will come into power. We studied that several Sundays ago. Gentile powers have their occults as part of their advisory. Nahum 3:1-4, all became of many harlotries of the harlot. Look, we'll look at verse 4. Let's just read from verse 1. Woe to the bloody city, Nineveh, completely full of lies and pillage. Her prey never departs. The noise of the whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheel, galloping horses, bounding chariots. We would say the rumble of artillery, the rumble of the tanks, all this kind of thing. Horsemen changing, swords flashing, spears gleaming, many slain, a mass of corpse, and countless dead bodies. They stumble over the dead bodies, all because of the many harlotries of the harlot. The charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells the nations by her harlotries and families by her sorceries. So I just picked out these verses to show you the prevalence of all of these things in ancient history and right up to today, as a matter of fact. The Chaldeans, most important of all, the Babylonians, it says that the Chaldeans in the original text, in our passage, they were all Babylonians or Chaldeans. So what's so special about referring to Chaldeans here? These are master astrologers. When you have that special group in Daniel 2:2, you have a special group of astrologers. Now, before we get into this, let's make sure you understand the difference between astrology and astronomy. See if we have it. Uh-oh, what did our designer do? Well, let's see. Word of God versus the occult. Very good. All right. Just something to kind of break it for you. That's good. I like that. All right. Astrology. The divination of the supposed influence of the stars and planets on human affairs and terrestrial events by their position. Astronomy, the study of objects and matter outside of the Earth's atmosphere and their physical and chemical properties. So astronomy's fine. Astrology, you're in trouble. When man rejects the truth of there being the true God, yet he knows there is something beyond him, it is amazing what people will believe. Magicians, cultic power, conjuring up the dead, sorcerers, demonism, and now giving to the created inanimate universe controlling power. How about that? These stars, inanimate, created, no volition, they control human history. Are you serious? Yeah, I'm very serious. Don't you read your astrology every morning? I mean, I don't move until I read it. Got to know what to do. Got to do all these things. It's just amazing the way people are. These are called Chaldeans. Here, this is important. These are called Chaldeans because they were a specific caste of priests that passed their knowledge from one generation to another. You had to be born into this special caste of priests, much like the Levitical priesthood of Israel. And they traced their lineage all the way back to Nimrod and the founding of Babel. And we studied that a couple weeks ago. This caste of Chaldeans were employed all over the known world. Other nations wanted these Chaldeans to come in and help them. All the way down to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire will have Babylonian Chaldean priests cult in their cabinets. Chaldeans, master astrologers, who dated their knowledge back to the time when people of Nimrod built Babel. They looked into heaven and they studied the stars most carefully, with devotion. Okay, the first world religion was based on astrology. People, if you reject God, you got to come up with something. So you just study out there. Why, it's beyond me. Don't understand. So it must interpret. You know, we realize when this star shines, this happens down here. Ah, it controls it. Just amazing what they come up with. Okay, continuing on page 12. These were the ruling priests, and they kept everyone in line. And these priests put great burdens on mankind, And people, this is true in Jewish and Christian umbrella. It's amazing how many pastors of churches put unbelievable burdens on their congregation to control them. You can't do this, you can't do that, you got to do this, you got to do that, you can't dress this way, you got to dress this way, on and on and on. And Jesus Christ spoke of the Levitical priesthood. You put burdens on the people that you yourself don't even carry. Why do you do that? Priests love their power. They have power and they love their power and they will abuse their power. These men brought the wisdom of Babylon into the Gentile nations, into the world of the Gentile wisdom. In Nahum, the harlotry goes all the way up to Revelation 17, 3 through 5. So if we were going to take time, we go to Revelation, study it. Let's just read very quickly. Revelation 17. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead, people, this is going to happen in the future. This is not in the past, this is in the future. And on her forehead was, as a name was written, a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Verse 5, Babylon the Great. How could Babylon exist in the mystery form up in the future when the whole world is under one religion? Because this woman herself is the one world religion. Traced through history from Babel to the Chaldean Empire all the way up to Rome. Always had a continuous perpetuation of herself in the knowledge of sorcery, astrology, knowledge of the occult, passed from one generation to generation. In all the great empires, although the king ruled, they were manipulated by the wisdom behind them through the advisory staff and that priest. So the king may have ruled, but this advisory staff was in control. What this is predicting is that the final form of Rome, the Revelation passage we read, the final form of Rome is raised again in the ten nations, is the mystery of the form of religion, which goes back to the roots in the Tower of Babel and in Babylon. New Age, go to the next page. New Age today is dominated by the spirit of Babel. The emergence of the New Age movement and many other religions today, ecumenical religion, where all religions come together for peace, oneness, unity. New Age combines multitudes of religious organizations to save the world from war, poverty, want, and fear, and from the true God, from the wrath of God. Astrology is going to be great in the days yet to come. God forbid Israel and the Jews from getting involved in any of these occult activities. We won't take time to go through them, but all through the Old Testament, God warns them, they get involved in it, and he comes down against them. Okay, the next, in the middle of 13, is Daniel 2. Okay, 2, 1, and verses 1 through 3. Now, James Webb and I have talked about this. He said, Herman, I don't think you're going to get past page 10 or 11. I said, no, we're going to make it to page 20. Well, he was right, and I was wrong, and we have communion to do. So I hope that you come back next Sunday and bring this, and we'll have all of so that we can move on. But this is as far as we'll make today. Okay, let's be able to prepare ourselves now for our communion service. Yes.
Would it be right if you say that the arm of the New World, New Age movement would be
Okay, there are so many. Romeo, it's so. This is one of those things. United Nations, Roman Catholic Church, the Muslims, Islamic religion. They're just. It's hard to say what's going to be developed tomorrow, and they'll be like that, of course, with their Agenda 21. Definitely be like that. They'll be like the Roman Empire as far as the religion. They'll be like the Islamic religion, which is in control all over the world. So it's going to be like these things. I don't know that we can say one is. It's like identifying who the Antichrist will be or the dictator of the divided Roman Empire. During World War II, it was Stalin and Hitler. Some people said it was Clinton. I don't know. Clinton, that just boggles my mind that any serious Bible student that think that playboy who just enjoys life, and it would be that dominant a factor. So it's hard to say. Yeah, exactly. And that's probably why they thought it would be him. All right. Okay. Let's get ready for our communion service. And I love the communion service. And so to get ready for the communion service, we got a special hymn.
Oh,
the head of the church, Jesus Christ, gave us the communion to constantly remind us of how we entered into this plan and to keep close to it. The bread that we're going to take is how we entered the plan, by faith in Jesus Christ, because he came, took the form of mankind, died on a cross. The cup, how we're to live constantly, daily in our lives. It's a cup of the new covenant. It's a cup of the work of the Holy Spirit. So this is how we're to live each day. So this is what the communion is. It's just a call to remember, call for us to come back, to walk by faith, keep trusting him. Let's prepare ourselves for the issuing of the bread by prayer. What an awesome God you are, Father. We kind of think, Father, wow, you're in control of the universe, you're in control of the history of man, you're in control of what's going on all over the world. You're just too busy to be concerned about my individual life. You're just too busy to answer my prayers, to interact in our lives. But what an awesome God we have. You're not too busy. You care about each of us individually. You act in our lives moment by moment. And therefore, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful of the grace that brought us into union with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is our custom that everyone hold the cup till everyone has been served, that we might partake together.
please stand?
In the same way, he, Jesus Christ, at the Passover, the Last Supper, took the cup after supper. The Passover is over. This is for the church age. Saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for this reminder. We thank you for this grace call back home, back to you. Get our focus right on this coming month, getting our mindset on your word, on your spirit, on your son, on glorifying you. So, Father, we thank you for these few moments. And we pray now, Father, to take all the things we've done this morning, that Heavenly Father, you will just cause them to be a richness to our lives. The study of Daniel, the communion, the singing, the reports, the prayer requests, Father. So many wonderful things have happened in the spiritual realm here this morning. And now, Father, we thank you for the food we're about to partake and the fellowship we're about to enjoy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.